One of the toughest things you may ever have to do is just grow up. Ask Chris Rock. Like a lot of us, the superstar comedian had a rough time as a kid. Now Rock has turned those growing pains into the award-winning sitcom Everybody Hates Chris. Rock does the voiceover for the hit show. His young self is played on screen by actor Tyler James Williams. Young Chris is awkward, ambitious, and never fails to wiggle his way into a jam, like lying to his father Julius, played by Terry Crews, or having a recent face-off with the school bully.
That's Joey Caruso, a little thug with a big chip on his shoulder. You know, I managed to avoid him before I wore these shoes.
Nice shoes, Bojangles.
Bojangles? That's not what your mother called me when I was tap dancing in her drawers last night.
I know you think I'm crazy. But if I let him get away with that, he'd be doing it all year. Now, I couldn't beat him, but I thought maybe I could outblack him.
Everybody Hates Chris just began its third season, but Williams is 15 years old and growing up fast. So the show's been under the gun trying to knock out new episodes before their lead actor stops looking like little Chris Rock. Even with a hectic production schedule, the show's co-creator and executive producer, Ali LeRoy, found some time to talk when I visited the set at Paramount Studios in Hollywood. You've been working with Chris for years and years and years. How did you learn the business side? I mean, because I want to get to the creative side in a second, but this is coordination. This is business. You're on the lot. How did you learn to do all this?
I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing, but a team of trained chimps come in every day after I'm gone.
Mop up the boards, put up new things.
See, I speak English. The chips don't. So
I'm assuming, I'll interpret that for you. This is all hard-won experience. Did you do film school stuff?
I did not go to film school. I pretty much learned everything that I know, on the fly by osmosis or, something along those lines.
So let's get to the creative side. You guys have an incredible success on your hands, and it's one of those shows that really takes a lens on adolescence where you're just like, ow, oh, that's funny, ow, because you can just feel the pain. How did you come up with what you think is the winning formula?
I don't know. It's Chris's story, to a certain degree. We have taken some poetic license, but, it's a simple family show. It's fairly universal. These people just happen to be black. This show even exists in the same era that the Bill Cosby show of the 80s, that great Bill Cosby show. It's just, these people lived across town.
Right.
We have people that are doctors and lawyers represented on this show, and we have people who are bums and crack addicts and all sorts of people in between. And those people, have points of views about the other people who are inhabiting their space.
So your lead star is growing up fast. What are you going to do? Reverse human growth hormone? How are you going to deal with the fact that actors age and characters age, but not always at the same time?
We had him start smoking last year, and that seems to be that's slowing things down a bit. Well, no, I mean, but the funny thing about it is that people ask that question is interesting to me because television viewers are very accustomed to growing up with a family. They're very accustomed to it. So when I listen to people at networks and studios talk about what are we going to do? The kid is growing up. It's like Rudy Huxtable grew up, Raven grew up, Malcolm grew up. They all grow up. And the thing about it is that in the context of this show, this is, it is a morality play. And in some ways, it is sort of a coming of age story because what this thing is about is how this young kid starts to become Chris Rock, the guy we know now. I used to always tell the people at the network, I said, the day this kid walks into a comedy club, the show's over. Because that's when he begins the journey as the guy that we know. This show is about everything that led up to the point to make that decision to become the other guy. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite episode you've written?
That I've written? No.
They're all perfect, right?
No, they're not all perfect, but just in terms of how I function, in the series. And I was talking to a writer the other day, and I was just saying, you know, where someone may have written, you know, 5 or 6 episodes or possibly even more. I said, for me, I've worked on, at this point, 66. You know, I've worked on them all. And so at some point, for me, it's not a matter of a favorite episode that I wrote. You know, I got a sequence in this show that I like a lot, and, you know, and another one came out particularly well. You know, you never know what it's going to be. And I have guys down on the floor pitching ideas sometimes. Not to take the place of writers, but even the crew, they know the show well. They know the characters well. So there are situations when, you know, somebody will walk up to me, you know, shouldn't he be doing this because he says this thing, or shouldn't he be doing that, or you know, have you thought that he could do this? And, you know, they're all part of the show for me. So if somebody's got a good idea and they feel like, you know, I should hear it, you know, I'll listen to them. And if it sucks, I'll tell them it sucks, and then they go back to hanging lights. But it's not, you know, but it's just okay, though. You know?
Well, Ali, this is great.
You're welcome.
Okay, cut. Now we come up to normal height.
So we're here on set during a break with Terry Crews. Make a comparison for me between who you are and who you play. What's the same? What's the difference?
You know, what's the same is that I'm married with children, and I've been married 18 years with 5 kids. So I get the whole family thing. The difference, though, is that I am not cheap. The problem is I basically, at the mall, you just follow the trail of 20s for me. It's just, I just drop them all out, money everywhere. Whereas Julius is the cheapest man alive.
What drew you to this show when you were first checking it out, auditioning, all that?
What drew me to this was, first of all, was Chris Rock, which was, one of the, you know, the number one comedian in the world. Then it looked like a movie. That was my big thing. And there's a lot more freedom, a lot more, you know, we can do the quick pops and make the joke even better. You can improve it. And it wasn't limited to just the stage. So it felt good.
We were just talking to Ali about the process of writing the show. How do you interact with the writing? Do you get to tweak things if you feel like it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we get to do that all the time. We'll tell Ali. I mean, Ali will tell us, he's like, look, man, we write it, but, you know, we don't have to say it. And Tashina and I, and Tyler, we go into like, this doesn't sound right coming out of our mouth. Whereas on a lot of other shows, you don't get to do that.
People all over the world get to see the work that you do. What does that make you feel?
It feels good. I was in France about 4 months ago, and somebody comes up to me in the airport and they go, Chris, you Chris. And it's like, oh, wow, you know. And now that's the difference between it not us not having a studio audience as opposed to, you know, just doing it like this. Because we pump these things out, and then I go another place and all of a sudden, boom, you get the reaction later. It's a delayed reaction, you know what I mean? So it's powerful. You realize how powerful television is. You realize how powerful this whole medium is. And people are like, you know, Julius, you a good man. Ooh, I love you. You a good man. You're like, hey.
Well, Terry, I hear it's a silence on the set moment. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
Cut. And cut. That's all we need, guys. That's really great. Thank you. That'll give us little cutting pieces.
Cut! So. That's the bell, and that's a wrap for our visit to the set of Everybody Hates Chris.
What's he gonna do?